Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday afternoon. One more hour to go. Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. We'll get into his thoughts from the scrimmage today. I texted him. I said, does Clay Millen look like the best quarterback in the history of the world? And he said something like that. So we're going to decipher what exactly that means. Shout out to Mark Johnson for joining us as well. Love anytime we can catch up with that guy. He's good. I take him all over the place. And he gets it. The Buffs don't have a lot of excitement right now. So we got to talk other things until the Buffs give us reason to get excited. I do like Brady Russell, though. Not just the name. I do like him. I think that he's nice a hell hair. Of a tight end. Hell of a look that he's got going to. Maybe he'll be at the... You might be going to the Front Range Huddle. It's at the Blake Street Tavern in Denver. And it's a lot of fun. And CSU's not going, as I mentioned. I didn't want to get into this with Mark, but the Twitter beef. There's a Twitter beef between the owner.
You remember this?
Yes. The owner of Blake Street Tavern basically threw some shade at the Mountain West Conference and CSU. And one of the higher-ups at CSU didn't like that and said, count us out. We're not going. And then a whole feud started. Denver Post Mark Kisla got involved. And then, for some stupid reason, I decided to get involved. Then Kisla's coming at me basically saying I stirred the pot and now I got people mad at him. I'm like, dude, people are mad at you all the time. You don't need me to make people mad at you. It was a weird deal. But I'm going. I'm going to have fun. It's going to be a great time. Ed McCaffrey will be there, Angel.
Ed McCaffrey?
Yeah, Ed McCaffrey will be there.
The birthday boy.
Is it his birthday today?
It is his birthday.
Happy birthday to Ed McCaffrey. Well, how old is he? Do we know?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
He's famous enough where you could just Google that. Okay, let's take a guess. You give me a guess. Don't Google it yet. I'm going to Google it. And then you tell me. How old do you think he is?
Go 54.
Oh, my. Did you
look
this up?
No, I did not.
Oh, that is 100% on the money. 54 years old today.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Happy birthday, Coach. Ed McCaffrey is 54 years old. It seems like just yesterday I was watching this dude. Training camp here in Greeley, watching him win Super Bowls. It's still, sometimes, Angel, it's kind of surreal. It's still kind of weird to me that Ed McCaffrey's the head coach of the UNC Bears of the station, and we're the station that broadcasts Bears games. We had to talk to Ed McCaffrey on a daily basis, or on a weekly basis at least, and, you know, he was one of my guys. I have an Ed McCaffrey jersey. That's why I always tell these sports journalists don't lift the Stanley Cup. We got into this because we're fans. You're fans first, and then you evolve, and maybe the games don't mean as much personally to you anymore, but we get into it for that. And it was one of those guys, man, that I was just a gigantic fan of.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't a Broncos fan, but when I got to meet him, it was, wow, this is NFL legend Ed McCaffrey. He's very tall.
Yeah, he is pretty tall. He is an intimidating force, it looks like. He always wears that hat. But you get to talking to him, he's a really nice guy. And dare I say this, Angel, he's a little standoffish, a little shy until you get going. And then he's great to talk to. I mean, he talked my ear off. I met with him on campus once, and he just kind of took me through talking football with me. I mean, it was an honor. It was really, really cool. But we talked for like 3 to 4 hours, dude.
Wow.
I mean, he goes in. So that's why, like, people knock at him saying, so there's certain people, like, he doesn't know football. Not according to what I saw.
I mean, you played in the NFL. I'm pretty sure you know football.
Under Mike Shanahan, too.
Yeah.
So, and from everything that I hear and what my small pea brain can recognize, it does look like a lot of stuff that he does is kind of from that same Shanahan offense type mold. Kind of a pro-style West Coast offense. So it is cool. It was really cool to sit down and talk with him for a while. 54. He'll be there. Carl Durrell will be there at the Front Range Huddle. I think Troy Calhoun will be there from Air Force. And then School of Mines goes. I think they should ask Craig Bohl to go next year from Wyoming. Is that too silly? Have him cross over state lines?
I mean, is it... Rocky Mountains, it's its own thing.
That's true. It's kind of, yeah.
You're on this side of the mountains. You're okay.
Yeah, you're okay. I think he'd be okay. I've debated doing more Wyoming talk, obviously. We bring Cody Tucker on. Well, see, that's the thing. Rams fans get so mad at me. One of my good friends, Fred, I won't even say your last name or who you work for or any of that stuff. Good friend of mine. Love him to death. Totally like, dude, don't be talking Cowboys, okay? So I have Cody Tucker on once a week. He must not hear that segment. But I, you know, we've had listeners in the Wyoming area, been like, you never mention. We're closer to Wyoming than we are Air Force, aren't we? How far is Cheyenne? Now I want to know.
You can make me.
I don't know, Angel. I'm making you work today, man. You'd think I know. I don't even think I've been to Cheyenne. Seriously. I know. I just haven't been there. Been to Wyoming. I don't think I've actually been to Cheyenne. And when I say I've been to Wyoming, like a half a second in.
Cheyenne to Greeley is about 52 miles.
And how far is Colorado Springs? That's further. How far is Air Force Academy from here? I don't know why.
132.
Okay, so I was right. Yes! Got one right today. Anyway, happy birthday to Ed McCaffrey. Shall we get to today in the National Football League? Man, contracts just keep going up. Los Angeles Chargers star Derwin James agrees to a $76.4 million deal, becomes the NFL's highest paid safety. That is crazy, right? The deal has an average annual value of $19.13 million. When Peyton Manning signed with the Broncos, that's what his salary was. 19. That was quarterback. We were in the 19, the high end, 19 to 25, 26, 27 million is what we were with quarterbacks.
About what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're 19 for safeties. Crazy, right? What are we at for quarterbacks now? What is, where's Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and all those guys stacking up? I mean, we're in the high 40s, aren't we? Isn't that nuts? Safeties are now being paid like what quarterbacks were paid. So he sets the market. Derwin James just reset the safety market. It's a good thing Justin Simmons got locked up when he did. Because, yeah, well, you might be looking at some more cheese down the road for him. But fantastic contract. That's a lot. All right, I want to do this story first, and then we'll get into the Washington story. Aaron Rodgers, critical of young Packers receivers, basically just going at it saying, hey, if you can't catch the ball, you're not going to play.
We got to be way more consistent. A lot of drops, bad route decisions, run the wrong route. He just won't be out there. You keep dropping the ball, you're not going to be out there.
Way to lead him, Aaron.
You got to catch the ball.
Hey, you got to catch the ball. A little different than Russ, right? Russ would be like, you know what? It doesn't. Jerry, he was great. He was fantastic. We'll get him there. We're going to get him there. Let's ride. We got him.
Let's ride.
Okay, if you were a wide receiver, which style of quarterback leadership would you rather? What Aaron Rodgers just did right there, or what Russell Wilson's going to do? Because we got two totally different leaders.
Totally different quarterbacks. Obviously, Aaron's a little bit higher in terms of, okay, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I can't really say anything to him that he hasn't heard before. Russell, it's different because he's on a new team. You're trying to get an impression of him. Maybe some guys just rubs him the wrong way, like Tanner Schwinn.
That's very true. All right, how about this story? I don't like to get too political here, but Washington Commanders Jack Del Rio, of course, was fined $100,000 for his dust-up at the Capitol comments talking about the January 6th deal that we just love talking about, man. People still just like, that's the thing. The rest of the COVID year, nothing. We don't talk about it at all. Weird crap happened that year. Yet the January 6th thing is the topic. What did Jack say, by the way, Angel? He said, what was his exact quote?
His quote was, and then we have a dust-up at the Capitol. Nothing burned down, and we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it's kind of two standards. Not long after Del Rio issued an apology on social media referencing the attack that took place on the United States Capitol, Del Rio wrote, referencing that situation as a dust-up was irresponsible and negligent. I am sorry.
Well, anyway, he says he's sticking to football questions after the fine. Can I just ask, without freaking any political people out? Like, seriously, I'm just asking. I don't see it. What's wrong with what he said? Like, I get why we made a big deal out of it. We should make a big deal out of it. But I do understand where he's coming from. There were peaceful protests. Fact. There were also riots. Fact. There were things burning. There were buildings being broken into. That's a fact, right? Am I wrong on that? I have access to social media and the nightly news like anybody.
These are true.
So it did seem like those things were not really, depending on who you followed, were not really treated. And I think both sides are this way. I think one side doesn't want to talk about January 6th, but they want to talk about riots. And then the other side doesn't want to talk about riots. They want to talk about January 6th. They were both embarrassing to the country, bro. They were both crappy. So when he says, hey, it's a double standard, he's not wrong. Both of them need to be discussed. Both of them were embarrassing to our country. But calling it a dust-up? The hell's wrong with that? I almost cussed.
A fracas? Is that a word?
What do you say? What are you supposed to say? And he's not wrong on some members of the media going all in on this. I've heard more about this than I have any of some of the riots. And there were riots. Dude, was it in Portland? There was an entire block shut down, kept the cops away from getting in. They overtook a city in there, bro. They overtook this thing. And we're not... That deserves just as much. It's crazy to me. I don't know. 16 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Kevin Lytle's going to join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I just, texter says, call dust up. I do have issues with it. I don't understand what, like, the term dust up. Like, what's so bad about it?
My issue is, you said he was fined for this?
He was fined $100,000 for that comment.
Why?
Don't know. I don't know,
bro. If you have the money to pay it, I guess it doesn't really matter, but why? Is he going to feel bad and punished for paying a fine?
You know there's been worse things said by human beings in the media or representing a football team or a basketball team. Now, I don't want him talking politics. I'll admit it. I don't want Jack Del Rio tweeting about it. I don't care. Well, if he tweets about it, this one thing, I can choose to unfollow him. I don't want it to happen before the game starts on Sunday. I don't want to hear Jack Del Rio up on the podium on practice Friday saying, hey, yeah, I know we got a quarterback situation or a defense situation on our hands, but let me talk about January 6th. I don't want to hear it. And if I... Don't mix it into the game. If you want to be political, go do it on your own time. Do it on your Twitter, which he did. He tweeted that, correct? That was a tweet?
Yes.
That's fine. I can choose to unfollow. I always unfollow. If people are heavy political on Twitter, sports guys that I like, I'm done. I don't want to see it. I don't have it filling my tweets. I don't know the dust up thing. I get why you're mad if he's not talking about both sides. You got to talk about both sides in this. I do agree. Both sides were embarrassing to the country. But the fact is, there were riots. There was this situation on January 6th. Those were both things that happened. There were also peaceful protests. And I get that. That's fine.
The Google definition of a dust-up is a fight or quarrel.
Isn't that what it was? I mean, didn't they? I mean, there was...
Imagine there were some conflicts.
Maybe dust-up makes it sound worse than it was then.
It's a dated term. It's a dated phrase. Maybe you could have said something different, but you know, I was a little dust up.
But he was fined $100K for that. No, I don't understand it. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you have a problem with it, great, but is it worth fining a dude $100,000 for? I don't get that. 19 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up next. We'll talk to him. All things Colorado State. He was at the scrimmage today, so we'll get his thoughts on Clay Millen and the gang coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown, hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
23 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our Rams insider. Kevin, my man, we had another scrimmage taking place this morning. What stood out to you, my man?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, we're still in sort of that improvement phase where it's not quite, you know, game ready, if that makes sense. So you have some situational stuff, you know, a lot of red zone work today, things like that. The defense, I would say, had another good day. This defense, you know, again, it's still early. We'll see. But you can start to get, I think, kind of optimistic about this defense. They have some good players. I think the depth is actually better than I anticipated. So you had some good players. Cameron Carter, a guy who in spring, you know, basically was knocked down the depth chart, and the coaching staff, basically, you know, they flat out challenged him, and he's responded really well. He made a really nice play in a red zone drill. So a lot of that, you know, positive, you know, energy and plays from the defense. And then the offense looked solid. They picked up the pace when they were doing, you know, kind of full field type scrimmage stuff. They were playing at a pretty good clip. You know, Matt Mummy said that they want to, you know, keep working on that pace, start playing a little faster, and he was pretty happy with how they did. But like I kind of suggested, they did have some red zone struggles, and that was sort of the one source of frustration from the offense. But overall, pretty good day for them, and they're a little limited. Torrey Horton, Melquan Stovall didn't take part in the live type stuff. They were catching passes earlier, but didn't do the live hitting and things like that. So they're getting the young, you know, the freshmen a lot of reps. So it wasn't, you know, necessarily your 100% full offense. They weren't really throwing the deep ball very much today. But overall, I think a pretty positive day, as, you know, they're about to inch into actual game prep mode. But yeah, I think it was a solid day, even an awkward one. You know, Jay Norvell is still not there because he has COVID right now. So everyone said, obviously, not ideal not having him there, but it seems like they felt like they're getting their work done as they need to be.
Boy, and not as extreme, obviously, with Coach Bobo a few years ago. But you remember, he wasn't able to kind of be there at the beginning portion of that season a few years back, too. And again, COVID, that situation different. Sounds like Coach Norvell is going to be just fine. But it's still, like, you know, not ideal 2 weeks away, and Coach is kind of not been there for a couple of days because of COVID. So I don't imagine that's going to be a big deal, but it just kind of reminded me of those Bobo days.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of had the same thought as well. Like you say, obviously a totally different situation, and the program's in a different spot too. You know, it was kind of in disarray at that time. The last thing they needed was that absence, whereas I think things are feeling pretty good. The good thing with the offense is obviously Matt Mummy and Jay Norvell are very connected. So offensively, yeah, Mummy now takes over, you know, calling plays and stuff in a scrimmage like this with Norvell out. But obviously Jay and Matt are very in sync on their offensive feelings. So, yeah, at least on the offensive side, they can, you know, kind of keep doing what they're doing, just, you know, slightly different voice.
Yeah, and that, you're right. It's a different situation, and, you know, it's a few days. It's not the end of the world. Luckily, you know, you get it over with, and he should be back very soon. Although I am reading some emails, or I read some this morning, it does change a few things for how tomorrow's media day will look.
Yeah, some shuffling around, you know, just with the uncertainty, obviously. You don't really 100% know when he'll be back, you know, until he's cleared and is able to come back. But they hope he'll be back later this week, and things can kind of, you know, click on like normal. But, you know, it's kind of just, you know, the way we're living right now. Everyone knows this is possible. So it seems like the team as a whole has kind of taken, you know, I don't want to say a shoulder shrug as if they don't care, but a shoulder shrug as if, you know, they kind of know this is a thing that can happen, and just move on and do what they need to do.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Okay, going back then to the scrimmage stuff. Any cause for red flags when you're seeing not as sharp in the red zone? I know that's obviously for any team, and especially a team that we expect to score a lot of points. Is that a cause for concern at this point, even though it's just a scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, I would say slight concern as in the, you know, take it as obviously you need to improve that. But again, you know, you didn't have Torrey Horton there. You didn't have Melquan Stovall there. That's two pretty good weapons. And then, yeah, it's, it's still camp. I mean, that's the whole point of practice. If everyone's perfect, you wouldn't have to work on those things. So it's one of those keep an eye on once the season starts, but certainly, you know, no alarm bells or anything right now.
Do you think Tanner Arkin's going to be a big weapon in the red zone? They're going to be using him a lot?
Yeah, I think we'll see some of him. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when they are in the red zone, sort of how they operate. You know, is it a lot of jump balls to your taller guys? Is it, you know, some quick type flare type routes, some, you know, creative screens, or what's it going to be? But, yeah, I mean, Arkin's a big body guy that, you know, we always talked about Trey McBride last year, of like, why don't you just have him go box out some defensive players and create some space? And, you know, Arkin's a big boy. He can probably do some of that as well. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that you'll see some in those red zone opportunities.
All right, Kevin, be straight with me here. We talked to Mike Brohard earlier, too, and he said they have a special teams coach. You're talking about them utilizing a tight end in the red zone. What are we talking about here, man? Is this real? Is this real football?
It's craziness. It's a whole new world, isn't it?
It's absolutely nuts, man. We were talking a little bit earlier about just media, coaches drops. Like, currently the coaches that we cover, and especially with Nico Medved and Jay Norvell at CSU, a lot of nice guys, just great dudes. They're calculated, they're cool, calm, collected. I will say this, Kevin, and you're not going to miss this, but I'm going to miss some soundbite opportunities. I will say this, we don't have a lot of those in this even in the state now. There's not a lot of soundbite dudes out there anymore.
Press conferences will be different this year. I think the post-game pressers will look and sound a lot different. That's for sure.
Yeah, no question about it, man. All right, so when what do we got? We're getting closer and closer. Not this weekend, but next weekend we'll see Wyoming in action. And then, of course, the following weekend we see CSU in Michigan. I posted the question that I went to you with last week about it will be a failed season if CSU doesn't, whatever. Most of the fans on our Twitter or our poll, Kevin, are saying they don't have a winning record. Not just a bowl. They expect at least 7 wins.
I mean, sure. That's fans. You know, that would be nice. I think 7, you know, in the regular season is possible. I don't think that's impossible, but I don't think that is the bottom line. You know, if you're less than 7-5, it was a failed season. I don't think that's looking at the whole situation in a very practical manner, if I'm being honest.
I'm with you. I'm looking at it going, I definitely need to see, and I think you said this, and I agree 100%, I need to see more wins than last year. I need to see at least 4 for me to feel, you know. And again, Jay Norvell's not going anywhere. They could lose every game next year. It's not like he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
But I expect them to, you know, at least be sniffing around a bowl game appearance. So I'm thinking, yeah, I expect at least 4-5. If you win 5 games, I'm still pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I agree that, to me, kind of 5 is more where I put it, of with the schedule, you should probably reach that point. I don't think it's a guarantee, but I think that is probably, you know, where you should hope to reach for, you know, as a minimum.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, my man, well, we'll see you. I don't know if I'll be out exactly with the time change of everything with the media day tomorrow. So at some point, I'll see you around. We'll see you in studio next week for the first show of Rams Weekly as well. So I'm excited about that, my man.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back out in the world, excited for our show to get started. There's a lot happening. It's crazy. You know, you say in Wyoming next week, CSU, you know, barely more than 2 weeks out. It feels pretty wild that we're that close.
I know. I was reading the CSU emails talking about getting into the actual game week feel. I mean, it's crazy. We're already there. Kevin, what are you working on, man, that we can check out in the Colorado one in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I just posted a story from the scrimmage, you know, some things I saw at the scrimmage itself, and then some bigger picture look at, you know, kind of the depth chart, some of how the defense is coming together and things like that. And then, excited to have some good interviews tomorrow. Got some features coming in the near future on some of these players that fans will be seeing on the field a lot.
I love it. I love those in-depth stories as well, so we can get to know these teams and these players. Kevin, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, 33 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Angel, guess what? The Nuggets schedule just came out.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at it.
Where'd you? Okay, I'm looking. I'm getting stories about it right now, but I'm looking for the full schedule. Where is it? How do I get it?
I know our friend Katie Wingy has it on her Twitter.
Okay, I'm just going to go to Twitter. Okay, I'll do that. Well, we'll take a break. 33 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Did you see that, Angel? Air guitar is getting a little better. Just practice every single day. The Denver Nuggets 2022-23 NBA schedule is out. And you counted them up already. These are the things. Like, when you get the schedule, we're not going to go through the wins losses.
As much as we want to.
Should we do
we
that?
We do not have the time.
Take an hour. Oh, that's a win-loss. Two in a row there. Three wins. I think the main thing we look for is any crazy road swings, you know, home stands, national TV. You counted how many national spotlight situations?
16 games, either on ABC, ESPN, or TNT.
That's legit, right? I mean, that's good.
Including that Christmas Day matchup with Phoenix.
I'm curious, like, what does it look like for Golden State? How many nationally televised games would Golden State have? But either way, because I think that's a high number. That's a high number, isn't it? 16?
Pretty decent. They don't have any in November. So that's going to be
weird.
All altitude November.
But, wow.
Yeah.
But it's weird. In October, they have, what do they play, like 7 games in October? And 2 of those are on ESPN.
Yeah, at Golden State and the Lakers in Ball Arena.
They open the season on October 19th, it's like 2 months away, Angel.
Wow.
At Utah. Starting the season up at Utah. So what's crazy is, and I'm reading the email sent from Nick O'Hare from the Denver Nuggets. Great dude. 17 of their first 28 games are away from home. But beginning on December 18th, there's going to be a stretch of 15 out of 19 at Ball Arena. So 15, there's right there, that's going to be a big stretch where you go, okay, wherever you are in the standings, this is a chance to really solidify that, move up, whatever. And then, as you mentioned, they got a Christmas night game at Ball Arena against Phoenix. It's not like you're looking at the matchups going, oh, that's going to be a tough schedule. It's the NBA. They're all playing everybody, and, you know, you got your division. You're going to see those guys a lot. Some good ones, though. Some really good, as far as the national or the national exposure the Nuggets are going to be getting. Let's see how they fare, though. I don't. Sometimes, you know, they're all right, but it just seemed like recently when they do get on national TV, they kind of struggle a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking. You got, let's see, the Timberwolves, got the Clippers, Pelicans, Memphis. That'll be fun.
Mm.
Milwaukee,
yeah.
A couple games.
All right, when's the, for my guy, for Roddy, here. When's the Memphis game? First one? That is TNT. That's Tuesday, December 20th?
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a David Roddy show going that day. Maybe we'll talk to Mr. David Roddy about his big matchup with the Nuggets.
One-on-one, Roddy or Jokic?
Oh, Roddy for sure.
Oh, yeah?
No,
you're gonna go there?
No, Joker. I'm sorry, David. Sorry, my man. No. Joker would tear you up, dude.
Two-time MVP, Rookie of the Year.
Maybe the Rookie of the Year. Wouldn't that be?
You heard it here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's great, because I predicted he'd be a first-rounder and nailed that easily. You know, that was an easy one.
You had Trey McBride as a first-rounder, too,
I did, yeah. Missed that one. But he got in the second round. He went in the second round, didn't he? Yeah. That was close.
Can't get them all.
It's pretty phenomenal, though, when you think about it for CSU, like, you have a first in the same year, a first round guy in the NBA and a second round NFL player. It's nuts.
It's a good start.
Yeah. It's big time for Colorado State. Anything else to stick out to you? Again, this is what you do. You just, match up there. I mean, it is what it is. You just look at the national exposure, and it's weird that they don't have any national exposure in November, though. Is that weird?
it's a little strange. It's, you know, obviously, what, second month of the season? We would like to see them on some kind of national TV game, but that's what it is.
They're on TNT in April once, one of their final games of the season against, they're at Phoenix for that. You know, that could have some, look at that stretch in April. Golden State and then Houston, at Phoenix and then at Utah. Though there's three games right there that might have some seeding importance there as far as what the West looks like.
Yeah, and I believe it was Harrison Wynn that I saw. The Nuggets will be the most traveled Western Conference team.
Why? How is that? Like, they have more?
They travel a lot more.
Oh.
Just the total number of miles from home.
Yeah,
away
it's not the number. It's just the,
yeah,
the
it's
stretch
just how much
is,
going to be
is different. It's not a convenient type stretch. Yeah, because where does it get crazy? Or yeah, I mean, the October of the seven games, at Utah, at Golden State, at Portland, at L.A. in the first month for them. And then they have, look at that stretch, man. So you start November at Oklahoma City, home against San Antonio, and then it's at. And then you're New York at home. You're on the road a crap ton in November.
Yeah.
They will be road tested at that stage. Boy. Now, when you look at the schedule, or the matchups, it's San Antonio, Indiana, Boston, Chicago. I mean, it's not like it's an easy road schedule.
New York and then back-to-back in Dallas.
What the hell is this? Is this fair? I'm breaking into this. I'm like, if they're the most traveled team and they got to go more miles, and then suddenly you're starting November, dude. Realistically, like, this is... Okay, suddenly I'm getting worried here. Do I need to press the panic button? I feel like...
Eight home games in the first 2 months.
What are we doing? And that's with Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. still trying to figure things out? I'm a little skittish here. I'm a little skittish. A little scared here. Calm me down.
We have the best player in basketball.
That's true. Thank you, Angel. We do have the best player in basketball. We do have Bones Highland. I don't really like Bones.
Bones.
Busy. He's got to be one of the fan favorites now. Like, the fan favorite.
If I bought jerseys, which I won't do anymore because I hurt Michael last year, Bones would be the next guy I'm getting.
That would be. I love the logo with him too, like the new logo with the skeleton looking guy.
Oh awesome!
Perfect.
I love the skinny dude, man.
I love everything that he's about, man. Okay, so are we a little concerned that we're starting this out like that? That you're on the road so much in the critical time of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. trying to mix back in to this roster?
Yeah, it's a little interesting. Obviously, you're going to see how these guys come back, and being on the road that much, it's a lot of adversity you're going to have to face. You'd like to play in front of the home crowd a little bit more, get them and their energy going, but it's going to be a very tough stretch for the Nuggets early on.
Would you be surprised if by the end of November they're under 500?
I wouldn't be shocked. Given the sheer number of road games, how much traveling they're having to do.
Are we panicking if that's the case?
You don't want to blame the schedule makers for it, but it's like, come on, guys.
It's pretty rough, man. And again, you want a team that's with a two-time MVP in the playoffs. Okay, I'm doing it. Is it a conspiracy? Keeping the Joker down again. You're messing with Drew Locke, COVID. Now you're messing with the Joker.
Leave me alone, please.
I'm tired of it. What is this? We got our two-time MVP, and you're like, you know what? We're going to put him on the road 80% of the time in November and not put him on any national TV so nobody will know what's going on. Because altitude's not going to have it on any TV, unless you have DirecTV, which I do. You should just go ahead and get that. That's dude, the more I look at this, the more I'm going, I don't want to be under 500 to start December leading into Christmas night. I don't want to be sad on Christmas going, oh, we got to win this game just to get back to 500 tonight. Whew. Okay, we can breathe. Survive November somehow, and, you know, everything else looks pretty good after that. A lot of home games in December. A lot of home games in January. I mean, it does get a lot easier. A lot of road games in February, though. February's got a lot of road trips. 46 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts, post to the schedule up on our social media feeds. Follow us at The Whole Show or me at Whole Show on Twitter. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Ten minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. 9 of 14 games on the road in November. It will be a critical time in Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr.'s redevelopment and getting back from injury. Tell me not to think this team's going to be under 500 by the time we start.
It is concerning. It's a lot of road games.
And it's not like they're just piddly road games. These are good teams.
I mean, you're Boston, on Chicago. The road for a long time. You're traveling with your team. You're not really getting a sense of what your home court feels like.
No.
Because you've only been there two, three times.
They'll look at this. They'll have Oklahoma City, the Lakers, and Utah home games in October. Then home against San Antonio on November 5th, on the road, through the halfway point in the month, and then they're home against Detroit. They got two in a row against Dallas, which makes sense. But look at those teams. Those are playoff teams. Clippers, OKC. Dallas, Chicago, Boston, Indiana. And it's rough on the road anyway. And you got at least four of those teams are playoff teams. So, whew. I don't know. That's a rough look. That's a rough spot there. LeBron James did agree with the Lakers earlier today to a two-year, $97.1 million extension that includes a third-year option. He is, how old is LeBron now? 36? Is he, no. Is that too old? Is it too high? Or is he older than that?
37.
I was close. The extension, which includes a 15% trade kicker, makes James the highest earning player in NBA history with $532 million in guaranteed money, surpassing Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant. James is ineligible for a no trade clause because he agreed on an extension, not a new deal. But the new deal starting salary of $46.7 million. The 15% trade kicker and James' stature as one of the history's great players likely make him a Laker for as long as he chooses. I'm kind of shocked. I thought he was sniffing around again. He was looking around to move to a different team.
But I don't think so.
No? You think he's happy in L.A.?
I don't know if he's happy, but he's there.
The money speaks, and he's winding down his career.
I know his sons are slamming down dunks in whatever league they're playing in. Little Bronny James.
He wants to play for as long. He wants to play with him, doesn't he?
I think so.
How many more years do they have to go for that?
Probably five or six.
So we're getting. I don't know. Can LeBron go to in his 40s?
He probably could, but
I mean, he hasn't really slowed down much. It's just the situation with the Lakers. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though, dude. I will say this: the whole decision thing about LeBron was annoying to me, but I think we've learned that with the Lakers, with the Nets. It's not as easy as just pairing these guys together. It's tough. You have to, I don't think you could just throw anybody at Nikola Jokic and it'd be fine. It's about chemistry and coaching and working together and unselfishness. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into when you have these big three teams, these superstar-laden teams. There's a lot more to it than when we first look at it.
Yeah, well, he went back to Cleveland for a few years, only won one title. You went to a bunch of finals, but there were times where he didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving with him, and he was playing with Tristan Thompson and Shumpert. And
No, no doubt. I mean, it's harder than it looks. Today on TV tonight, the Rockies back at it against St. Louis Cardinals. How are we feeling?
I lost all interest after the All-Star break.
Me too. Marquez going up against Jordan Montgomery tonight. The Rockies are 16 games under 500, 18-37 on the road, and they'll be on the road in St. Louis tonight. 5:45 is the first pitch there. So, all right, that's going to do it for us. We'll keep rocking and rolling. I'm going to be running around CSU Media Day and stuff tomorrow. And then next Wednesday, I'll be at the Front Range Huddle. So we are making the rounds. We're getting set for the preseason stuff with the media, with the teams. It's going to be great. That'll do it for us. We've got Betting Across America coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.